perform this new instrument, Ogham.
Everybody wondering about this steel band style.
You like to know
when you get to know well, it's gonna break your heart.
I tell you now, it's funded by one Winston Spring, and this is how he started his first melody.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, University of Manitoba. This is UMFM 101.5, and you're listening to Evergreen Perspectives. Speaking is your host for today, Ife Olua.
And Oluwatosin.
Thanks for joining us on today's program, guys. So, regular check-ins. Oluwatosin, how are you today?
I've been good, yeah. Today, yep, I've been good. It's been a rainy week, and I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. From the hail that we had, was it like, I actually don't remember the day, but sometime this week, yeah, those heavy stones, yeah. Those solid stones.
It was they were massive.
They were massive. It was fun, actually, and it made sleep better as well. So yeah, so my week has been good. Today has been amazing.
That's lovely. I'm very glad to hear that. I also have really enjoyed this week, and I actually like the weather right now, and I think it's going to be cold tomorrow as well, but we'll see. I mean, we're ready for it. It's Winnipeg, we're used to it, and we love it. All right, so today we have something different for our audience. I think you're in for a treat today, because I also will be learning about it for the first time. But
I want to say absolutely, and it's one of the things I'm excited for today as well. So yeah, so go on.
All right, so today we have the, so imagine an organization with 25 million members worldwide that are backed by rock stars and world leaders fighting global poverty, but never asks for a single dollar. So joining us live in the studio today, we have a representative from ONE, O-N-E-1, Mohammed, and ONE is a massive global movement that's taking inequality and preventable diseases to, you know, fighting against inequality and even and diseases. And we're learning about their work right now, also with you guys, the audience. So, Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Welcome to the show, Mohammed. We're honored to have you on the show today.
The honor is mine.
All right. So, moving to the questions, because we have a few questions. We read about the things you guys do, and honestly, I was amazed. I'm pretty sure Ife was as amazed, more amazed.
Yeah.
So we do have some questions for you. So for listeners turning in right now, who like me, might be hearing about ONE for the very first time. I actually read about it, but hearing about it for the very first time. Can you give us like a 30-second snapshot? What is the core mission of the ONE organization?
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. Well, as you said, ONE is a global movement of advocacy fighting for a more just world by demanding more economic opportunities and healthier lives in Africa. So typically speaking, we do not ask people for their money. We say that we want your voice, not your money, because every citizen's voice is exactly what is needed to influence decisions. Mm. And the two Winnipeggers that took part in our event did exactly that.
Mm. That's lovely. So going back to the foundation, then how exactly does ONE organization make an impact just using the voice? Can you elaborate more on that?
Yes, of course. So typically we rely on our volunteers' actions. Okay. Sometimes we send actions, we organize events so that the volunteers themselves go to their representatives, their MPs, and make them aware of the situations. Once we've created that sound and that pressure, we put pressure on the government by also publishing reports. Mm. We rely on our experts to do data work and publish good studies to showcase and further advocate for the changes that we would like to see.
Mm. That's really cool. So that's to say that there's so much power in your voice, and then, you know, bringing it to good use is what you're doing in implementing these changes.
Yes, you're totally right. It also goes to say that everyone, every single Canadian has the power to influence their representatives.
Mm, that's lovely.
That's wonderful. And it's a very unique organization, because I know, like, the popular organizations that I hear about is like the one, the fundraiser ones that get like fundings from government and all that and send money aid to like Africa and other countries and other continents, I mean. Yeah. Yeah, so this is unique actually, because this is actually my first time hearing an organization where it's about advocacy. It's not about the fundraising, like people donating charity. It's not about like charity, bring money and all that. So this is actually very lovely. But I want to look under the hood of your organization's framework. So on one side, you have the high-level data analysts and policy researchers tracking global crises. Mm-hmm. And also on the other side, you have a massive network of 25 million grassroots activists. So how do those two very different worlds talk to each other? And also, how does a piece of dry data from a researcher turn into a passionate campaign by local activists?
That's a very insightful question. The most important thing is that these two worlds are not disjointed. They work in sync. They work in harmony together. If we produce some very good studies, but two studies are never released, they never make their ways to people, and people are not aware, and therefore the representatives are not aware, those studies do not have the necessary impact. Mm-hmm. And same goes for our activists. If we do not supply them with the necessary facts and figures that might be striking, their impact on their representatives are not the same as they could be. So we really try to put these two worlds in sync so that we maximize the impact that we have on the ground.
That's lovely. Thank you for answering that. But I also want to talk more about that network. So you mentioned the network taking, you know, the massive action. Can you talk to us about one of your biggest moments of the year? Like, I'm referring specifically also to the Africa Day. Which
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So Africa Day is May 25th, which I think not many Canadians are aware of. Mm. On that day, we organized a two-day event, May 25th and May 26th. On May 25th, Canadians from all over Canada came to Ottawa and they had a full day training where they were trained on our policy issues, mainly on trade diversification and how to speak to MPs, how to make a power pitch that is going to be impactful. And on the second day, those volunteers had the opportunities to go meet their own MPs in Ottawa and then had the opportunity to attend a question period at Parliament. It was very, very insightful and very enlightening because it made people realize that every single person and every Canadian can actually have an impact, and they can go to their representatives, their MPs, and tell them about the main concerns they're having.
That's very insightful. Thank you for that response. Because now that when I think about it, it's more like when someone is in power, like you don't just leave them there. You also make your concerns known. And I think that's what you're doing, especially with Africa Day. And I like how Africa is being also portrayed here. Like what we see normally in the media regarding Africa is like lots of diseases and, you know, all of this injustice or insecurity. However, you are... One is presenting Africa as an avenue, like for growth, basically. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes,
like partner with, yeah, potential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, please.
Oh, we believe that it is way beyond time to change the narrative around Africa. Africa is not a place for charity; it is a place to do business. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Carney said that he wants to diversify trade and double non-U.S. trade. If he is serious about that, he must consider Africa, which is projected by IMF to be the fastest growing region in the world. Africa is not charity, it is business.
Africa is not charity, it is business. I love that. I'm writing that down somewhere. All right, so I just want to ask now, so for someone who is listening, who thinks that global issues are general, like they're uniform everywhere, and they're wondering why Africa, like why is the future, or why do you think the future of the entire global economy is deeply tied to what happens in Africa?
I love your question. I really do. For a few reasons. By 2050, one in four people will be African in the world. Africa is the only region in the world that is projected to have a demographic growth in the next few decades. It means that it is a huge market, not only for Canadians, but also for the rest of the world. As I said, it is also, it has been IMF as one of the fastest growing region in the world. In fact, it was the fastest growing region. So there is significant growth and innovation happening on the ground in Africa. It's just that we do not hear about it enough. And finally, the most important thing is that Canadians and Africans and Canada and Africa in general enjoy very good relationship overall. Canada does not have any colonial history in Africa. Canada has incredibly good reputation over the world. So there is a very great opportunity for there to take from Canada. And one example I could give, for instance, is that cocoa. We all love chocolate. 52% of the production of cocoa bean in the world comes from Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire, for instance. Mm. So we're missing out a lot there, right there. Canada could build a win-win partnership with those countries to have a more equitable added value supply chain over the world and encourage development in Africa and on the ground.
That's good. Thank you so much. No doubt Africa is actually like a lot of things goes on, like especially with the cocoa that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I read an article about even coffee, like the coffee beans.
Oh, yeah.
Also. So it's like,
yeah,
it's
I believe that's Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I do know like in the past, they used to mention about like fuel as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very, like when you think about it, the vast amount of resources that we have in Africa and how
it's
land
actually, of resources,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And how we can actually benefit. So that's really cool, and we love that. But I was wondering, would you be able to share with us one of the impacts that ONE has had, maybe on a community, maybe share with us something that you've done in the past and the outcome of that.
You mean
like maybe one of your campaigns, and then maybe you want to talk about, for example, I saw one, Poverty is Sexist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can tell us more about like one of your campaigns, apart from like Africa Day, tell us more about your other campaigns and then how like these communities also benefit from the ONE organization.
Of course. So just one quick thing before I jump to the other side of your question. On Africa Day itself, one of the biggest impacts is that MPs have learned about the little trade that exists between Canada and Africa and have leaned into that. So that is a significant impact that we actually had on the ground during that campaign. Mm. Another campaign that we could talk about was actually one that was just launched yesterday. We launched a website called, a micro website called More Than a Match, that showcases Africa present in North America. So we used the World Cup as a hook, and we did a lot of work on the data and on the numbers to showcase that African diaspora do exist. They're unseen sometimes, but they do exist in North America. And they produce a lot. They contribute a lot. And we did that through trade to see and showcase which provinces, for instance, trade with Africa the most, which provinces have the most African-born population within them, and African investment that happened both in Canada or Canadian investment that happened in Africa. So that has been one of our newest campaigns that is incredible.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. And I'm just wondering, like, so this is a question directed at you, Mohammed. Like, if you could sit down with any world leader today, say for off-the-record coffee date or something, who would it be? And also, what is one thing that you'd actually flash in front of them?
Can I trust any world leader?
Like, yeah, any world leader.
Well, oh, that's a great question. Well, actually, I'm Moroccan.
Who?
I'm Moroccan by birth.
Okay.
So I would choose the leader of Morocco to talk to him and showcase that Canada is a country that deserves a lot more interest, and to encourage more Moroccan investment in Canada as well, more Moroccan business and more joint innovation, because there is a lot of innovation happening in Morocco, for example. And there are some universities that are welcoming students from all over Asia that do incredible work in innovation. And so I believe that bringing Canada as well to that, to bridge the other side of the advocacy as well.
Thank you. I really love your answer. You know why? I love that you answered from that perspective of you would talk to the Moroccan leader, because now we're talking two different things. We're talking Canada and then some countries in Africa. But then you realize that for these to actually work, it takes cooperation from both parties.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's like, I really love that answer, knowing that it's not just Canada. It's about like, I need these people to also cooperate for these to actually work. So
In Morocco, we have a saying that goes, one hand alone does not clap.
Hmm. True. You need two hands to clap, yeah?
Exactly.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take it from what you first said about cooperation. So you need cooperation from both parties. So if you view this like a pyramid, so let's say the one organization is at the top of the pyramid, mm-hmm. and you're trying to reach those at the very bottom of the pyramid, then let's say that's like Africa and like your purpose, the purpose of the one organization. So how do you ensure that the funding you pressure Western governments to commit actually reaches the targeted communities without being lost to local corruption? Because, you know, before it goes down to the pyramid, it has to pass like a lot of stages. So how do you ensure that the purpose isn't lost? It's not lost in like local corruption.
Again, I love the question, and I will respond to it from a different perspective, if you'll allow me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that, you know, the approach your suggestion is a bit top down, whereas at One we're trying to take an approach a little bit that is more bottoms up. So there is an Africa team, there is a team in Africa that supplies us with concerns, latest studies, latest trends, latest data, and we use those insights to tailor them to each country. So I think that the most important thing is not to have, as you mentioned, in order to ensure that the targeted communities get the support they need, it is very important that those communities have a say, have an insight in the design of the programs that you're talking about. In while we're thinking them, having those communities and the different communities in mind since day one, so that nothing gets lost in translation and in the middle.
I really like that you said involving them, because my next question was going to ask, like, how does the One organization, so how is One evolving in its internal structure to ensure African local leaders are the ones designing the future agenda? So I would actually still want you to answer this question, please.
Well, I'm glad I did that.
That's good. Thank you. So I'm wondering now. So I'm actually hearing about before, prior to the call, I was reading about the One organization, but like, mm-hmm. it's really nice, you know, hearing from you, the representative. It's an eye opener, because I'm sure so many other people listening right now probably don't even know that something like this exists.
Yeah.
But let's say there's a listener who's really interested in contributing one way or the other, maybe by, like you said, the voice, by volunteering,
yeah.
or what is, well, how would you guide them? Like, how can they get involved with One?
Well, the easiest way to do that is to go to the website one.org, and there is a toggle there that says Take Action with One and get involved. In Canada, we have a program called the Global Activist Program. I think the next cohort is going to start very soon, in the next couple of months. The applications will be out, so everyone can apply. There are no restrictions at all. Everyone can apply. And through that program, always, general activists get training, get a monthly training, and they will get to participate in the super cool event that we did, like the one on Africa Day. So, yes, go to the ONE website, one.org, O-N-E.org, or feel free to reach out to the staff on LinkedIn. So if you need any information or direction or guidance, yes, please feel free to do that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Mohammed. Really appreciate you joining us in today's program.
No, thank you so much for the insightful questions.
Thank you. Thank you as well. All right. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening to today's episode on Evergreen Perspective. Our guest today is Mohammed from the ONE organization. And if you have been intrigued and inspired, because I have been, you've been intrigued and inspired by what it is that ONE organization stands for, you can head on to their website at one.org, O-N-E.org, one.org. You can head over there, check out their data, the tools, and see how you can join in the fight as well, you know, for a better, I guess,
for equality,
for a better global world. So thank you so much, Mohammed. We wish you the very best with everything that you're doing, and we wish ONE the very best as well.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us on today's program on Evergreen Perspectives. You know, and you know, Tosin, that was very insightful. Honestly.
It was, surely.
Very inspiring too, mm-hmm. to be honest. To think that I didn't know about this before,
mm-hmm.
and
same here.
Having the opportunity to actually learn about it right now, mm-hmm. it's really amazing. And to all our listeners as well, we hope that you've heard ONE thing or two that you want to hold on to, and maybe you're interested, go online on their website, one.org. I think that everyone has a voice, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a good thing to actually believe in the power of what your voice can do, like the places that your voice can reach and the impacts that it can actually make globally, because
right.
that's what
right.
This is.
And that's what I really love about perspectives, because like I said, the most popular ones, especially the ones you see online, is about like the fundraising. They will ask you to like donate some amount, whatever amount you can donate, basically. And hearing about the ONE organization, about like it's about advocacy, it's not just about fundings, it's not about sending money back to Africa, it's about talking to the leaders that we can talk into to basically entering into politics to bring that equality, right? So that is another way to view how we can help
right.
a situation. And that's what I really like, because I never thought about this one. Like, it's unique, actually.
And I also, like you said, perspective, I also like that it shows like, okay, this, let's not view this continent as, oh, they need help, mm-hmm. let's see it as another new
opportunity,
because it's loaded.
It's loaded.
This is just the little that we know about, mm-hmm. like the resources. I'm sure there are so much more, you know. And mm-hmm. if you want to go back in history, back in time to during the colonial era and everything, there's so much more,
yeah.
you know. But
so basically, ONE organization mm-hmm. is trying to retell this story. So the stories we've read about Africa being, Africa is poor, Africa is in need, Africa needs help. ONE is retelling that story. It's telling you, it's not all about that. Africa is a place of potential. Africa is a place for business.
Exactly. I love that.
It's a land of resources.
Yes, a land of opportunities. And that's really amazing. Yeah. That's wonderful. All right, guys, so you've been listening to Evergreen Perspectives on UMFM 101.5. And as always, we like to tell you, have a beautiful spring/summer. I hear it's going to be cold tomorrow. I don't know.
I hope it keeps raining.
Yeah. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Don't do
anything dangerous, please. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot of water on the ground and you're not sure what's underneath, especially if it's like...
Don't go in.
Please, 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 please. And as Mr. Scott would say in high school...
Please, please, please do not get arrested.
Have a beautiful weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Found you there, hiding in the sauna. And you laughed at me when I called it marijuana. Everything I see now ends in a comma. Can't believe you might want